a starman waiting in the sky. He'd like to come and meet us, but he thinks he blew our minds. There's a starman waiting in the sky.
Good afternoon, Cavs, and welcome to the Millennial Meltdown. I'm Pete Schulte from the Campus Ledger, your student-run news publication. You may notice that I am not Josh Morrow. His dastardly handsome self is not in the studio, but we're here in the studio today for a special show where we'll be talking about the science behind the blockbuster film and New York Times number one best-selling novel, The Martian. Joining us today are three very smart people who unfortunately get the pleasure of putting up with me. We've got Professor of Astronomy and Physics Doug Patterson, Professor of Geology Lynn Beatty, and Lance Martin, photo editor for the Campus Ledger, who actually hasn't seen this movie, hasn't read this book, but is a fan of many rocks. Professors, Lance, welcome to the show.
Thank you, thank you.
Thanks.
Thank you.
Before we get started, for listeners who may be unfamiliar with the two of you professors, tell us a little bit more about who you are and what you do here at the college.
I'm Doug Patterson. I teach astronomy and physics here. So if you're going to take an astronomy class, well, it's probably going to be me or Professor Cook. I also teach physics, teach a course, math and physics for game developers. So introduce them to all the juicy math and physics go into making video games.
Very cool. Professor Beatty?
Hi, I'm Lynn Beatty, and I teach geology and physical geography here at JCCC, and I love to go outside exploring and experience the outdoor world with backpacking and kayaking.
Absolutely. And I read that your favorite landform was a tarn.
Oh, yes. You've done some research.
A little. Very, very minimal amounts, but I don't suppose we'll find too many of those on Mars.
Not on Mars. No.
Don't think so. Lance, why do you know things about rocks?
In my former life, was able to magically obtain a degree of geology at UMKC. And just still a big fan, and just wanted to kind of sit in whenever I heard a little bit about the project and either contribute or just entertain my curiosities.
Fair enough. Well, let's get on to The Martian. It's a great book by Andy Weir. We are going to focus a little bit more on the film version. I know, if I'm mistaken, I'm the only person who has seen the film. Oh, you've seen it
yes.
too. Okay, good. Professor Beatty's seen it, so I have a little bit of backup. But the good thing is most of the stuff we talk about will be very similar between the two mediums. Now, before we get started, it is worthy to note this is your one and only spoiler alert, listeners. You're not going to get another one. There. Now, you can't yell at me later. I'm no scientist. So if I sound completely lost sometimes, that's why I have you guys. But if I'm not mistaken, and I believe, Doug, you and I talked about this, is that the two of you actually taught a special topics course on physics and geology about a manned mission to Mars, and your textbook was none other than The Martian. So before we get started, tell us a little bit more about that.
Lynn, I'm going to defer this to you because you're the one who really started this project.
Okay. Well, I listened to Science Friday with Ira Flatow, and he did an interview with Andy Weir.
Great show.
Back in winter of 2014, and picked up a copy of the book before the spring break backpacking trip. And I couldn't put it down. It was hardback, and you don't carry hardback books in on a backpacking trip, but I did. I'm up there on top of Elk Mountain while everybody else is hiking around, and I'm trying to finish the book because it just has captivated me so.
Oh, absolutely. It was addicting for me. We were on a trip, and I bought it before I hopped on a plane, and you're absolutely right. It is a captivating book.
So I just thought it would be neat to do a class on that and got back to work and proposed the idea to Doug to team teach it, and we got it approved.
We had
about 13 students last spring.
Very cool. Now, I have to ask, because that is a class that I personally, as a student here at the college, would love to take. Is that going to be happening again?
No. The way special topics courses work is that they're one-off type of things. They're special topics. And so they're one and done. Although, keep an eye out for perhaps spring 2017. Lynn and I have an idea for another special topics course. It won't be The Martian, but it'll be something equally interesting and hopefully engaging and enjoyable.
Well, that's a bummer, but I understand, sadly. So, well, let's get rolling into this film here. And the first thing we're going to start with is really talking about the dust storm that breaks the antenna array and strands Mark Watney in the first place. Listeners, if you haven't seen this movie and you haven't tuned out for the spoiler alert, oops, I gave you another one. Mark Watney is the main character played by Matt Damon in the movie. To give you a really, really brief overview, dust storm happens. Mark Watney gets injured, is presumed dead. His crew leaves him behind to try to survive on Mars. So that is the preface. But this dust storm that strands Watney in the first place, tell me, is the entire film flawed, or is this something that could actually happen?
There can be a dust storm on Mars. There are dust storms on Mars, very, very large ones, and in fact, sometimes global storms. However, the whole premise of the movie is that the wind starts blowing things over and things like that. The Martian atmosphere is only 1% as thick as our atmosphere, and so you know you think, well, if you're out in a hurricane force wind, you know, 100 mile an hour wind here, it's gonna blow you over, right? On Mars, there's so little mass moving because there's so little air. That even though it's very fast, there's not a lot of energy in it. It's not transferring a lot of momentum to you, so it's not going to blow you over. The way I explain it to my students is the difference between thinking about being in a 10 mile an hour breeze outside versus in a 10 mile an hour river current. Right, a lot more mass, and so you're being moved around a lot more. Very little mass since the atmosphere is so thin. So. Yeah, you're going to be having a lot of dust flying around, but you're not going to be throwing around communications arrays and knocking over rocket ships.
So basically what I'm hearing is that this entire movie is flawed. And
well, I will say that Mr. Weir, of course, fully acknowledges this. But I mean, you got to have a plot device to get the person stranded in the first place, right?
Sure, sure. Well, what I'm hearing is that the government should really stop spending large sums of cash to bring Matt Damon home. Because, I mean, what is it with this guy? He gets special treatment during World War II as Private Ryan. He plays a giant jerk who tricks everybody on Interstellar. Oops, that's another spoiler. And now he is getting trapped on Mars in a dust storm that isn't even real. Dang it, Matt Damon.
I think he should be brought home just because of his good sense of humor.
I know, right? He is. That's so good. That's so good. Okay, well, moving on from our unfortunately physical dust storm, let's talk a little bit about food and water. To refresh listeners, Watney uses a machine called an oxygenator. Can't even talk. Oxygenator in the HAB, and utilizes tool mentioning how it can break down CO2, give oxygen back. He then extracts hydrazine fuel from the Mars descent vehicle and burns those two together to create water. For the non-science nerd, is that a pretty accurate description of what you guys saw in the film?
Yeah, that's good.
Okay. Well, what are your thoughts on that whole process, fact or fiction?
Well, yes, it works. But when you're going, and we're going to combine that with the food, the whole thing with using the water to provide moisture for growing the potatoes is then the potatoes are going to respire that water back into the HAB, and so now, and you've got your little miniature hydrologic cycle, you're going to have to do something with that water as well.
Mm-hmm. So we've determined that it's a real thing, so that's pretty cool. But what about Watney's mad botanist skills? Farming potatoes with human waste as his soil. Talk to us about that, Professor Petty.
There are plenty of third world countries who do that, and as a first world country, so to speak, we could actually use that method as well. In terms of doing that on Earth, the problem would be sharing pathogens from one human to another. He's sharing his own pathogens with himself, plus he's got the waste from his crewmates. But that's been, you know, freeze-dried, desiccated, so that really shouldn't be too much of a problem for him. But yes, it works. From urine, you would get lots of nitrogen, so that's an essential nutrient for plant growth. And then from the feces, you'd get lots of carbon. And that's essential for the plant growth as well. My only quibble with the storyline was, well, they hadn't really been there very long, so that's not very much waste if you consider the typical adult feces weight might be about 150 grams, and that includes moisture. So doesn't have a lot of carbon since they've been there a short time, but since he's there still producing feces, then that would help.
That is something that I hadn't even thought of. That's a good point. So, well, and I imagine in your geology class, that is probably moved to the top of lists of things that you guys are going to be doing in class, right? You're going to farm with human excrement?
I don't think I'll be doing that.
That's not the highest priority?
No.
And it's absolutely shocking to me. That's amazing to know. Well, we are going to take a quick break, and we will be back with the professors and Lance, who hasn't said anything. For more on the Martian, you are listening to ECAV Radio, your school, your radio.